We'll then take item 15, a report from the Chairman of the Members' Code of Conduct Committee. The report from the Chairman on the work of the Members' Code of Conduct Committee is on page 77 of the Council agenda. In the absence of Mr. Murray Litvak, Councillor Smith Ainslie will present the report.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I present the report of the Chairman as outlined on page 77 of the Council agenda. We'll be happy to take any questions. But there's one important bit, I think, which is associated with this that I'd like to get across to all members, seeing as we're here. That's in relation to the planning training, which is mentioned in Mr. Litvak's report. It's provisionally been arranged for the 4th of February 2020, that's like next year, 4th of February, and is planned to be an all-day event. So, Mr. Deputy Mayor, what I'm asking for is that members do put that date in their diary and realise that it is an all-day event, not just an evening event. This information was cascaded to members this week through group leaders and also by email to independent members. So please, could members keep that date free in their diary. As I say, I'll answer your questions on the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Smith Ainslie. Do councillors have any questions on this report? Councillor Saligopoulos.
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you to the Chairman of Planning. I'm not sure how other members feel about this, and maybe it's because I've been a councillor for a long time, maybe too long. But I object to being told to attend a training meeting for a whole day when I'm not even a member of the planning committee. If I were a member of the planning committee, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I can understand it. But what makes the recommend that people think that we can spare a whole day to do this? And I'm terribly sorry, but due to the misdemeanors of members in the last term, this is what's come out in this report. Can I respectfully suggest that it's directed at those people that were in that report and not at the other members who are not on planning purely by choice? I don't choose to go on the planning committee. And now you're asking people to spend a whole day, and someone like myself who's been a councillor for 20 years on the county's strategic planning committee, have been trained from here to eternity, and now we are being told that we must attend. Now, I want to ask you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, through you, if we can ask the monitoring officer, please, is it an absolute, i.e. if we don't attend, will we be removed as a councillor? I want to know how, you know, what your views are on this, because I don't agree with it. I really don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Your comments are noted. Could I call upon Councillor Smith Ainslie for a response?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Councillor Saligopoulos said some things which weren't actually correct in that. This training is not because of the misdemeanours of any councillor whatsoever. That's not what it's about. The report is extremely lengthy, and what it comes to at the end is a recommendation. Several recommendations, all of which were adopted by the Members' Code of Conduct Committee. And Councillor Saligopoulos will know that in the Constitution, and I'm sure Mr. Mayor will correct me if I'm wrong, it does say what the planning code that all members of the council should attend planning training, because they all have to be responsible for their residents to assist them if they have any planning queries. That's why the invitation is to all councillors.
Thank you, Councillor.
Please, can I have an answer? Are we legally required to attend that day? What happens if you don't?
I'll ask our head of governance to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The request for councillors to attend training is a request which has come from the Members' Code of Conduct Committee themselves, and I think that's where the questions should be directed to if councillors have any objection to it, because it is your committee. They lead on standards in public life on behalf of you all, and they have decided as a unanimous group that that is appropriate. So I do think it's correct that the matter be discussed and directed back to the committee through the chairman. To answer your point on the legalities, there is no power for any councillor to be removed from office for whatever matter, never mind failure to attend training. But I think the very clear indication has been given by the committee that they do think it would help all councillors as a result of this particular sequence of events to get further training about material planning considerations and lobbying, and that is what the, that is the decision they've made.
Do any other councillors have any? Councillor Beardsmore.
Thank you very much. Can I just ask if that training will include a very strong section on the importance of strongly performing Greenbelt and not threatening it?
I suspect the training session will be arranged at some time between now and then, and I have no idea whether that's going to be on the agenda.
Do councillors have any other questions? Councillor Mitchell.
Mr Deputy Mayor, I'm grateful. I was going to sit silent and give in some consideration with regard to whether I should stand at all. I do have a difficulty with the report being proposed by Councillor Smith Ainslie. Paragraph 2.1, the committee considered a report from an independent investigator. Does the committee consider that this investigation was conducted expeditiously and diligently to, if you want, the benefit of the complainant and those complained against? Also, with regards to it, perhaps Councillor Smith Ainslie could answer this. As the complainant, with regard to this particular matter, did he take part in discussions that have led to the recommendations, if you will, being foisted upon Councillor Salagopoulos?
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Smith Ainslie, would you like to respond?
Yes, Mr Deputy Mayor. It was raised on more than one occasion at the Members' Code of Conduct Committee about the length that this investigation was taking. And there was an explanation given, and the length of the report, as members will see, was quite significant. And the interviews that were made with quite a lot of people, then they had to have transcripts of those interviews sent to them. Those transcripts then had to be amended if necessary and sent back to the man conducting the investigation. And then, so there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing going on with that. And the investigation, as I say, we did have concerns about the at the time that it was taken. And that was the end result of the time that this external person came back with his response. So we couldn't do anything about that because it was external, but it had been raised, the issue of the length of it. Sorry, no, I forget.
Thank you, Councillor. Does that answer the question?
The other bit about me being the complainant, what's that?
Stand up.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
The second part of your question about you saying you've been the complainant.
Sorry, I'd be delighted to repeat the second part of my question. I'm aware that Councillor Smith Ainslie was the complainant with regard to this matter. Matter having been fully investigated, I think it's fair, being minded that this matter has been publicised to all councillors, that no fault was found with regard to any specific councillor with regard to this matter, and most certainly all councillors should be fully aware of that matter. But I merely questioned whether or not the Councillor Smith Ainslie, as a complainant, should have been involved in discussions with regard to the findings of the Code of Conduct Committee on this matter, and certainly should have been involved in any discussions with regard to the recommendations now put forward, of which Councillor Salagopoulos complains.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr Deputy Mayor. I can answer the first bit, and then the second bit I shall pass on to Mr Graham. 2.2 of the investigation report, it says the investigation concluded that there had been no breach of the Code of Conduct. So I think that's quite clear that it is stated there that there was no breach of the Code of Conduct. And then as far as whether I should be allowed to take part in the discussions, as far as I know, I took part because I was allowed to. And one of the officers was present at the meeting and didn't tell me I wasn't allowed to.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other questions?
Councillor Dunn.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. As a member of the former members' steering group, which put together the training programme for new members joining the council, my own party has taken part in most of the training for planning, and therefore I'm unsure as to what they will actually get from any further training, as they've already applied to all the training that was asked of them.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Councillor Mr. Dunn, I apologise. Whilst your party may well be doing well in the training schools, there was at least one member of the planning committee who has sat on the planning committee since the very beginning, who's only attended two of the nine training sessions so far. That's a new council. I hope that helps you understand and others understand why it is that the training is necessary. As a new council, you cannot effectively do the job when you've attended two of the nine training courses. Thank you. That's not one of yours.
Councillor Dunn.
But I would say again, if my councillors have already attended the planning, then what is the point in them doing it again? It'll be a repeat of what they've already done.
Councillor Smith Ainsley, thank you.
I don't want to labour the point, Mr Deputy Mayor, but planning is a forward-facing regulatory committee of this council, and it is extremely important that members of that committee are aware of what is going on in the committee, what the rules are, and that it is a committee where legality is important, because if we make mistakes, then we can have judicial reviews into decisions that we make, and the council might lose them if they do something wrong. My role as chairman of planning is to make sure that when members are debating issues and things like that, that anything that they might bring up, which I consider to be something which is not relevant in planning terms, that I have that discounted. But it is extremely important that all members of this council are aware that it is a regulatory committee. It is very important to get it right. And this planning training session will not necessarily cover only the bits of the training that members have attended during the sessions that we've had up to now, of which I know some members have attended all of those training sessions. This was from the man that did the report, one of his suggestions, and we are taking on board all of the suggestions that came from that report.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Snyder.
Thank you, Mr Deputy Mayor. Well, I have attended seven of the last eight training sessions, and when I noted that the training day will be with an external speaker, I believe that there is always something to learn. I do accept the fact what other members have said with their apprehension of this, but as the chairman has explained, planning is a very detailed subject, and I think we can all learn something from it each time we attend training. Although I hope this will be the last session I attend in this council year. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Snyder. Councillor Nicholls.
Thank you, Mr Deputy Mayor. Just a point of clarification. It seemed to be implied by Councillor Mitchell that this report had been circulated to members. I certainly haven't seen it. Should I have seen it? Am I entitled to see it?
Councillor Smith-Ainsley, would you like to answer that?
It's a part two report. Members are entitled to see it, but it is a part two report.
Councillor Beardsmore.
Thank you very much, Mr Chairman. I have sympathy with Councillor Dunn's views about planning training. I've probably attended more planning training over the last three decades than the last two decades than anybody else here. And at times it can become a bit galling, a bit repetitive, and occasionally you do slink off and maybe not quite attend all of them. The problem with this, and I've seen this once, it didn't happen here, is if you have a planning, somebody on the planning committee who has not perceived to have been properly trained, and there is a close decision that they they partook in and they actually take good part in, they are opening the whole council up to an attack. A smart lawyer will say that person wasn't qualified, therefore the decision falls. I've seen this attempted once, it didn't get anywhere, we beat it off. But you have to understand, it is quite galling on planning to go to hear the same thing again and again. But there's always something new in there somewhere, or something you get a new view on. But it does technically, potentially undermine decisions that we make, because there are developers out there with a lot of money at stake, and if they can find a weak link, they will go for it and they will tear you apart. As I said, I've seen it attempted once. Wasn't fun, got away with it, and it wasn't here. But as I said, that is the key issue, and it is a responsibility on everybody, particularly those on planning, but those generally, because every councillor gets asked about planning applications. So in the end, having at least a working knowledge of the system is actually in our own interest.
Thank you, Councillor. We'll now move on. Motions.
Councillor Smith Aisley, do you wish to sum up?
I just wanted to say that's exactly right. If members could still please be aware that it does say at 2.2, the investigation concluded that there have been no breach of the code of conduct, but thus the report. Said that from various things that the investigator found out, he suggested that there should be this extra training, but there was no breach of the code of conduct found in that report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. We now move on. Motions. We have received notice. Item 16, Mr.
Deputy Mayor.
So. Right, sorry, we'll move on to item 16. A report from the Chairman of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee. The report from the Chairman of the Work of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee is on page 79 to 80 of the Council agenda. I call on Councillor Lane.
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I present my report on pages 79 to 80 of the Council agenda, and would be happy to take any questions.
Do councillors have any questions on this report? Item 17 now, report from the Chairman of the Planning Committee. The report from the Chairman of the Work on the Planning Committee are on page 81 of the Council Agenda and page 5 of the Supplementary Council Agenda. I call on Councillor Smith Ainsley.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I present my reports as outlined on page 81 of the Council Agenda and page 5 of the Supplementary Agenda. We'd be happy to take any questions.
Do councillors have any questions on this report? Thank you. We're going now to item 18, motions. We've received notice of a motion which is shown at agenda item 18 on the Council Agenda. May I remind councillors that all speeches during any debate on this motion are limited to 5 minutes each. I call on Councillor Vivian Layton to propose the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. This motion highlights Spelthorne Council's existing code of conduct for elected councillors, as expressed in the Council's Constitution, Part 5, which all councillors are required to adhere to when they are elected. The code is based on the principles of selflessness, integrity, objectivity, accountability, openness, honesty, and leadership, and is stated in point 9 as follows. You must treat others with respect. This means treating people fairly and equitably, and with courtesy, compassion, and sensitivity. You should treat other people equally as you yourself would expect to be treated. You must never use behaviour which a reasonable person would consider as offensive, overbearing, intimidating, malicious, insulting, or humiliating. This council agrees the existing code comprehensively promotes human rights and condemns all forms of discrimination, and the council reiterates its commitment to the code and its onus on all elected members.
Thank you, Councillor. Is the motion seconded? Councillor Smith Aisley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have pleasure in seconding that motion. I reserve my right to speak.
I I call on Councillor Vivian Layton to speak for the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. This motion is before us today because of the attempt to amend the motion on anti-Semitism at October's council meeting. It also seeks to ensure that there is absolutely no misunderstanding for our residents on this council's position on discrimination and human rights. I remind everyone that the anti-Semitism motion was as follows. This council supports the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism, decided on 26th of May 2016 at Bucharest, and henceforward adopts this definition and the illustrative examples for all relevant aspects of council policy, particularly in the field of anti-discrimination and the promotion of human rights. Despite absolute proof of the Holocaust, there are some who cast doubt on or even deny that it happened. Hence the need to support the work of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. I was therefore saddened that an amendment was proposed which cast aside and disrespected the pure intention of that motion, which had been brought forward specifically due to 2020 being the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz-Birkenau. I am also concerned that the defence by some of us of the motion as it stood could potentially be misinterpreted by others as a lack of support for wider anti-discrimination and human rights, which is definitively not the case. A final consideration is that, as this motion makes clear, Speltham already has in place a comprehensive policy which councillors sign up to on election and should be fully aware of. The amendment proposed was therefore unwarranted and inappropriate. This council agenda brings attention to and puts on public record our existing code and allows us all to reaffirm our support of it. I see no reason for amending this motion and I commend it to members.
Thank you, Councillor. I call on Councillor Smith-Ainsley.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I'm not going to speak for too long on this, but what Councillor Layton has said is basically the reason why this motion got submitted. The previous one that was approved by the Council was specifically for the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. And I'd noticed whilst looking at other councils' agendas and what's happened on them on the internet that other councils had had the same problem where when this motion was put before them, Labour had tried to move amendments to add the amendment that we had potentially moved at the last council. And I don't think it's right. There's a specific reason for this. And as Councillor Layton has said, our code of conduct and what's in our constitution covers everything that councillors should be aware of when they do their role from day to day and when they interact with other councillors. And I ask for a recorded vote on this, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Do any other councillors wish to speak on the matter? Councillor Butt.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The principles highlighted in the motion are widely used by the public sector, and they are also known as Nolan's principles. But as a council, we have got a statutory duty under the Equality Act 2010 to eliminate discrimination, promote equal opportunity, and foster good relations. And the Act covers 9 protected characteristics, and that includes faith and religion. And I think we, as a council, as an employer and service provider, we have to give a due regard to that. And this motion is also covers the discrimination part of it. But I would say when it comes to the faith is also covered by under the Hate Crime Act.
and there's a protection for that. But I think the discrimination has to be embedded as a part of everything we do. So all the functions that we have, we must embed how to eliminate discrimination in all of our processes.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any? Councillor Seaver.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Like everyone, I'm sure I too welcome this motion, as I believe we've had a number of instances of serious misconduct at the council recently, notably and regrettably by the leader himself. Just this evening, he commented on the recent general election, expressing words to the effect that we've been waiting for the country to be Corbyn-free. As leader of the council, which includes Labour councillors, I believe it's extremely churlish and insensitive of him to make such an offensive remark about our leader, and he must apologise for this. At least we don't have a leader like Boris Johnson, a loose cannon who's responsible for a litany of misdemeanours, including lying prolifically, making offensive remarks about other races, and being responsible for being... I'm sorry, is he allowed to interrupt? Can I carry on?
And do carry on.
Responsible for the extended incarceration of the British citizen Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe after his comments about her led to the Iranian court giving her the devastating news that her sentence could double. It is to do with the motion, because the motion says we have to treat each other sensitively and not make malicious remarks.
Councillor, would you like to address the chair, please?
Excuse me. In addition to this, as many of you will recall at the Planning Committee meeting in September 2018, the leader, who was not a member of the Planning Committee, ran after his wife, Vice Chair of the Planning Committee, and whispered something in her ear. Despite the chair telling him to sit down immediately, he carried on for some moments until the message was delivered. Local Government Association provides that messages should never be passed to individual committee members, either from other councillors or from the public, as this could be seen as seeking to influence that member improperly. We were also reminded of this by the chair at the start of the meeting. The fact that the leader did not heed Planning Committee rules shows either gross incompetence, loss of self-control, or lack of probity on his part. I must add also that it's disappointing that only the opposition in this council have seen fit to raise a formal complaint to the monitoring officer and not the other members present at the meeting. As the Code of Conduct indicates, councillors must be held accountable, which includes the leader. Hence, in the light of his behaviour, I would like to take this opportunity to ask the leader if he thinks he's fit to be leader of Spelthorne Borough Council. Thank you.
I call upon call upon the leader, Councillor Harvey. He was first.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I indicated that I'd like to speak before. I'm not quite sure how one describes Councillor Seaver's comments, whether it's no first or what. Unfortunately, she spoke so fast, so I was unable to pick most of it up. But what I did want to speak about is I want to thank Councillor Layton and Councillor Smith Ainslie for how clearly and openly and frankly they brought this motion, because I also was deeply shocked at the opposition that we got to the motion that I brought at the October Council. I really thought it was something that we could all agree on, and I was very shocked that others sought to deflect that, to dilute it. So that really is what I wanted to say, and I very much hope everybody will join me and will join Councillor Layton and Councillor Smith Ainslie in unequivocally and unanimously supporting this motion. In terms of what Councillor Seaver said, I really couldn't grab much of it, but if you think me whispering three words in my wife's ear, yes, I'm sorry, and I've apologised for that, but Councillor Seaver, I have a recording of you calling everyone, every councillor who didn't agree with your view, an inhumane idiot. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Sider.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Well, I'm happy to support this motion. In my 21 years on the council, I haven't ever encountered any discrimination whatsoever. And my philosophy in life has always been that I've always treated people how I'd like to be treated myself. And I think that is very, very important. If there are any differences of opinion in the chamber, like there is in Parliament, then of course that sort of thing should finish in the chamber and shouldn't be carried on outside. So as far as I'm concerned, I've never been involved in any discrimination and I've never encountered any. I think this is a good council and that we should support this motion before us. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mm-hmm.
Councillor Nicholls.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I intend wholeheartedly to support this motion, very happy that it goes through. I just would say, I think when the original anti-Semitism motion was put, it wasn't necessarily understood by everyone what the purpose of that motion was. And I would say one thing, in future, if the purpose of the motion is simply to gain support around something like Holocaust Memorial Day, if we had been told in advance, I don't think anyone would have wanted to raise an amendment. I certainly wasn't aware of it in advance, I don't know if anyone is. But if there is genuinely a motion like that, I think it is better if we all know about it in advance prior to the papers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Seaver, could you switch off your microphone? Thank you.
Yeah, can I let you?
No. Councillor Vivian Lake.
Councillor Vivian Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Well, I appreciate the contributions to be made to this, and I'm glad if everybody realises that it was really to differentiate that last month's motion was particular and specific to do with the Holocaust and anti-Semitism. And I trust that nobody will have any problems, hopefully, in supporting this motion tonight. And as I put absolutely specifically, these meetings are recorded, and down the road somebody could listen to, you know, a meeting and get, you know, really the wrong end of the stick, that this council that stood up and said, actually, I don't agree with your comments about anti-discrimination. So that had to be clarified, absolutely, and that was the purpose of doing this tonight. So I thank you all for your support.
Thank you, Councillor. We will now put the motion to the vote. Is it recorded? Yeah. This will be a recorded vote. I call upon the Chief Executive to explain the recorded vote procedure.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I will now call out the names of each councillor in alphabetical order who is present at the meeting. When a councillor's name has been called, the councillor shall respond clearly with one of the following three responses: for, against, abstain. No other statement or clarification of the vote is required or should be made. The vote will be recorded by the Head of Corporate Governance and then entered into the minutes. Councillors need not stand for this part of the proceeding. Councillor Harvey.
For.
Councillor Harman.
For.
Councillor Attewell.
For.
Councillor Barnard.
For.
Councillor C. Barrett.
For.
Councillor R. Barrett.
For.
Councillor Bateson.
For.
Councillor Beardsmore.
For.
Councillor Boardflower.
For.
Councillor Brar.
For.
Councillor Buttar.
For.
Councillor Chandler.
For.
Councillor Corns.
For.
Councillor Dorfell.
For.
Councillor R. Dunn.
For.
Councillor S. Dunn.
For.
Councillor Fiddler.
For.
Councillor Geffing.
For.
Councillor Grant.
For.
Councillor Islam.
For.
Councillor Lagdon.
For.
Councillor Layton.
For.
Councillor Mitchell.
For.
Councillor Nicholls.
Four.
Councillor Noble.
Four.
Councillor Rubinsky.
Four.
Councillor Seligopoulos.
Four.
Councillor Sexton.
Four.
Councillor Sider.
Four.
Councillor Seaver.
Four.
Councillor Smith Ainslie.
Four.
Councillor Vinson.
Four.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, there were 32 votes for, that's unanimous, as there were no votes against and no abstentions.
Thank you. We now turn to item 9, questions on ward issues. We have no ward issue questions this evening. Item 20, general questions. We have 6 general questions on this evening from Councillor Sider, Nichols, Mrs. Dunn and Dorfell. The questions are set out on the council agenda on page 7 of the supplementary agenda. I call on Councillor Sider to read out his first question.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Well, this question rather comes after the leader spoke on this, but nevertheless, I will read the question. And that is, will the leader and members of this council join me in thanking Michael Graham for his outstanding service as head of corporate governance of this council over the past 14 years. And wish him well and every success in his new appointment of Assistant Director for Legal and Democratic Services at Reading Borough Council. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Sider. I call on the leader to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you for your question, Councillor Sider. The simple answer is yes. However, add a little bit to it. Thank you for your question, Councillor Sider. As I have already mentioned, we are very grateful for the outstanding support, advice and service to Spelthorne afforded by Mr. Graham. And I certainly join you, Councillor Sider, in wishing you, Michael Graham, a very successful future. As I mentioned earlier, I vividly remember my first morning here with Michael, who went downstairs, put me on the chill, etc. And you've been a great support. Thank you very much, Michael. Thank
you. Councillor Sider, do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Not on this one, thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
I call on Councillor Sider to ask his second question.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Well, the week commencing the 25th of November was designated as National Tree Week. Trees have a crucial role to play in tackling the climate emergency, and apart from drawing down carbon dioxide, trees create more spaces for nature, supporting hundreds of species of insects, birds, and mammals. Trees are also great for public health, helping clean air and providing access to nature that is important for our well-being. That said, given the space and economic viability in our borough, will the leader support the doubling of tree cover in Spelthorne by the year 2045? Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Sider. I call on the leader to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you for your question, Councillor Sider. The Council is fully aware of the climate change situation and the importance of trees in helping to address the situation. I'm pleased to say that we will have planted 851 trees in 2019 and are further reviewing where we can further plant in the coming year, always whilst bearing in mind the ongoing cost of maintenance. In addition, we are also promoting initiatives to work with schools in order to encourage them to plant fruit trees, the produce from which is used in their cooking classes. This not only enhances their environmental and biodiversity knowledge, but makes them more aware of health and well-being at a time when obesity rates are on the increase amongst primary school children. Can I just observe, unscripted, I used to fly light aircraft in Surrey, and it is amazing how much of Surrey is actually covered by trees. A lot more than you would expect. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor.
Do you wish to? I don't have a supplementary question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Councillor Seidel, would you like to read your third question?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Well, the local plan has identified proposed sites in Cholton Village, Shepperton, to accommodate developments of some 380 dwellings. The total number of homes in Cholton Village at present is around 420. And the local plan proposal would mean that there would be an increase of 90% in housing. Whilst the local plan is subject to consultation, and residents have already submitted a petition to the council, appended with 609 names against the identified sites for development, would the leader agree with me and share my concerns that such an increase in this village would destroy its character in entirety?
I call upon the leader to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you for your third question, Councillor Seidel. The two sites at Charlton Village are proposed as allocations in the new local plan, which is currently undergoing public consultation. There are a total of 53 sites, 19 of which are in the Green Belt, including both the sites in Charlton Village. We are seeking people's views on all of the sites, and once the consultation has concluded on the 21st of January 2020, the feedback received will be analysed before consideration is given as to those sites that will be taken forwards and those that won't. This is a key part of the work that will be undertaken by officers and members of the Local Plan Working Party early next year. It is not the appropriate time for me to be commenting on the merits or otherwise of individual sites at this stage, whilst the consultation is still underway and before the responses are analysed. I urge all members of our communities to have their say by responding in writing to the consultation before the deadline so that everyone's views can be taken into account. Thank you, Councillor Seidel. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Seidel, do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Not a supplementary as such, Mr. Deputy Mayor, other than to say, were this to go ahead, it will be nothing short of insanity.
Councillor Harvey, would you like to respond now, or will you provide a written answer to that?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Councillor Seidel, I understand it's very emotive for all of us. I can assure everybody I would much rather not be leading this council through the local plan. There are tough decisions. That's why we appointed non-conservative to head up this particular bit. We are doing our level best to mitigate as far as we possibly can. I've already spoken previously that Councillor Beardsmore and myself and two officers went to the ministry trying to get them to accept a lower figure, the 2016 benchmark rather than 2014 benchmark, which if they would agree to that would actually protect all of our greenbelt. I can't say any more, whether it's insanity or not, I couldn't possibly comment on that. Trust me, we are doing our level best to mitigate it as far as we possibly can. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hoffman. I call on Councillor Nicholls to read out his question.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. In August, Spelthorne Borough Council advertised for non-executive directors for Knoll Green Estates. How many applications were received and how many candidates were interviewed? Have any appointments been made?
I call upon the leader to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you for your question, Councillor Nicholls. We received 40 applications for these positions, of which four candidates were interviewed. We have made one appointment. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor Nicholls,
Councillor Nicholls, do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. According to Companies House, no one else has been appointed. That was at midday today. Given that this will be public information, could we know the name of the person who's been appointed?
Councillor Harvey, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Councillor Nicholls, you do, of course, know the answer to the question you just...
I'm sorry, I don't.
Well, I was told you were told in September. Anyway, I'm quite happy to confirm that the person who was appointed as a non-executive director is Howard Williams.
Thank you.
I now call upon Councillor Mrs. Dunn to read her question.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Again, this is on the local plan, so I'm sorry, Mr. Leader, but we are putting you through it tonight. The local development scheme sets out a timetable for the production of the local plan, which stretches out into 2021. Could the Leader please set out what opportunities will be available to members to formally discuss, debate and vote on specific aspects of the local plan and the final completed version? Thank you.
I call upon the Leader to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you for your questions, Councillor Mrs. Dunn. The local plan is still in the preparation stage and the current consultation is not the final point at which we will be seeking input and views from our communities and local councillors. Indeed, the consultation is still ongoing up to the 21st of January 2020. So do make sure that you and your residents and the residents you represent are responding to the draft local plan proposals, as all of the feedback will be taken into account as the policies and allocations continue to be developed further. Officers have engaged with all members in advance of the consultation by inviting them to pre-consultation briefings ahead and organising drop-in sessions afterwards to discuss specific sites and topics. These were well attended and officers have also met with and taken calls from members during the consultation to provide further information and respond to questions. The next stage post-consultation will be for a final draft of the local plan to be produced, and it will be the local plan working party that is tasked with leading on this work and reporting its recommendations to Cabinet before a further consultation prior to the submission to the planning inspectorate for examination. Once examined and found sound, which means the planning inspector considers the plan to be legally compliant and in accordance with national policy, the plan will be presented to full council for a decision on whether Spelthorne Council should formally adopt it.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. Councillor Dunn, do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Thank you. Yes, I would. The point of this is the fact that although we have Councillor Beardsmore representing on your authority on that committee, there's no members of the other opposition parties on the committee to help out.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Harvey, would you like to respond now or will you provide a written answer?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Funnily enough, I had guessed that question was coming, so here's an answer we produced earlier. Thank you for your supplementary question, Councillor Mrs. Dunn. I have a strange sense of deja vu. This matter was already raised at July Council. I would refer you to the answer I gave at the time. If opposition councillors want to take a greater role in the local plan working party, then that is a privilege which has to be earned rather than demanded. As I said at the time, when councillors seek to mislead or frighten the public by wrongly suggesting that our green spaces are under threat, then they highlight how unsuitable they are to serve on such a working party. We are seeking knowledge, competence and level-headedness. Councillors who demonstrate an unwillingness to take advice from officers or work collegiatively with other councillors on a non-political basis rule themselves out. That remains the same. When opposition councillors demonstrate their capacity to serve the needs of the council and the whole borough on the local plan working party, then I will consider the matter further. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. I now call upon Councillor Dorfell to read out his question.
On 21st of November, I asked council staff to provide me with information that is covered by the Freedom of Information Act, namely the full contract with and instructions to the consultants ARUP that informed their Green Belt assessment, which plays a central role in the current local plan consultation, both as a councillor who happens to be a member of the Audit and Overview and Scrutiny Committee, and as a member of the public, I'm entitled by law to receive this information. I asked to be provided with this information without delay, yet I have still not been provided with a copy of this information, either by email or by post, as I'm entitled to under the Act. This is extremely concerning, both in terms of appropriate treatment of councillors' requests for information and in terms of the compliance with the rule of law at this council, considering furthermore that the local plan consultation is due to close on 21st of January 2019, that the information has already been withheld for 3 weeks at the time of submission of this question, in fact 4 weeks today, and that this information is central. When will I be provided with a copy of the full contract for ARUP and all the specific documents that make up this contract which I expressly requested? What steps is the council going to take in the future to ensure that council's requests for information are complied with promptly and that the Freedom of Information Act is complied with in a spirit of openness and compliance from now on?
Thank you, Councillor Dorfell. I call upon the leader to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. First of all, Councillor Dorfell, you stated 21st of January 2019, presumably you meant 2020. Obviously, dates are quite important based on your requirements here. Anyway, officers have reviewed your correspondence and you did not make it known that your request was made under the Freedom of Information Act. Officers have offered you assistance in relation to your request, and you were advised to speak with officers in order to progress the matter. Now I'm just waiting for Councillor Dover to catch up with his writing of it. It is a shame that you have not taken the advice that you were offered. I do have to correct you. You are not a member of the public. You are a councillor. And as a member of this council, you will always be provided with the information you need to perform your functions as a councillor. If councillors think they are entitled to more information under the Freedom of Information Act, they are wrong. You are likely to receive less information once exempt information has been redacted. This is because councillors may be able to receive confidential information that members of the public are not entitled to. If you wish to use the Freedom of Information route, then we will of course comply with the statutory timelines as required by law. So you can expect an answer in 20 working days once your request is received. I can understand that this is a complicated area for new councillors, so I would always recommend that you take advice from the Head of Corporate Governance. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. Councillor Dorfell, do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Indeed. Is Councillor Harvey aware of the following advice by the Information Commissioner Guidance? Anyone has a right to request information from a public authority. You have two separate duties when responding to the requests: to tell the applicant whether you hold any information falling within the scope of their request, and to provide that information. For a request to be valid, under the Freedom of Information Act, it must be in writing, but requesters do not have to mention the Act or direct their request to a designated member of staff. And the timeline is 20 days, which is today. And I note that not as a councillor nor as a resident have I received that information. In relation to that, it's a complicated area. For a request to amount to a Freedom of Information request, the Information Commissioners set out very clearly, this is, and I quote, this is not a hard test to satisfy. Almost anything in writing which asks for information would count as a request under the Act. There's nothing to discuss. I've made the request 20 working days ago, and I have nothing at all. So I will be taking this to the Freedom of Information Commissioner if I do not receive the requested information this week. So this is the deadlines by law. It's not discretionary, and the guidance makes that very clear. It isn't necessary to enter any discussions. I've clearly set out the information required, and it hasn't come as a surprise that it's being delayed. But it is being delayed, and unlawfully so.
Thank you, Councillor Duff. Oh, I think you've made the point. Councillor Harvey, would you like to respond now, or will you provide a written answer?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The information that I gave was based on legal advice, and I will be seeking clarification, but equally, I'll be honest, I'm not used to hearing or receiving threats made in this chamber, and I think that needs to be taken under advisement also. I find it slightly strange that Councillor Dover got the same today as the 20th day, because he put this question in a week ago, so how could he have known a week ago that he wouldn't have received it by today? Anyway, that is all I wish to say. He will receive a written response. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Leader. We now take... We'll now take item 21, urgent action, and I call upon the Chief Executive.
On the 9th of November 2019, in consultation with the Leader, I agree to designate the Running Horse Public House as a new polling place in the Sunbury Common Ward for the 12th of December general election. This was not a key decision. The matter was considered as an urgent action because the venue previously used as a polling station in this ward had declined its use at the election, and it was necessary to ensure there were sufficient polling places in the district before the council was next due to meet.
Thank you. Does the council agree to note this urgent action?
Agreed.
Right, so that concludes the formal business of this council agenda. Thank you all for attending. And I would like to invite you to join me in the Mayor's Parlour for refreshments. And I, on that note, wish you all a very happy Christmas and a peaceful and fruitful New Year. Thank you.